For our study tonight, our study 203 in the seven letters that Paul wrote later, and also we'll get with Jax and Mel's thing about the workman's interlinear thing. And we talked a little bit about last time about verse 19, and I read the verse, but I'm going to read it again, and I'll read you my notes, but there's about 23 places we need to go to look at to get all of Jack's stuff in here, so I don't know how much further we're going to get from that than our study tonight. That might be our study, but I've got 19 and 20 worked out, so I've got plenty of stuff to do here and to realize. But it says, this is, looking out in the Companion Bible, this is the part of the illustrations there. And part of that illustration was the fact that this was part of this, where it says it is the charge that we're looking at here from chapter 2:14 is down through chapter 2:26 is another charge that Paul was charging Timothy with. And verse 19 has the effect of truth on it. And when we looked at verse 18 last time, and we looked at 17 and 18, well, we got involved with a canker or cancer, or literally it, in those days it was the real bad thing was
leprosy
and that I wanted you guys to look at. And to realize that even the house you lived in, if you were there in those days, if somebody was there with leprosy, then the house become leper. And, you could get the, disease from the house or from where you stayed. So, we talked about that just a little bit, but then we talked about the effect of the error of some people that speak untruth, and like talking about what was his name? I can't remember that very well. Hymenaeus. He was talking about how the in error as to how the resurrection had passed already, had taken place. And the Anastasius. And it overthrowed the faith of some. And so this study for tonight is the effect of truth. And in verse 19, so we'll get involved in that. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal." So God has already, he has already come up with an outline of this that you can find in the very latter parts of the appendices here. But the foundation, what he has thrown down for people to build on of God's word. Okay. And it has a seal. It has something there that God has sealed in his mind in terms of how things it needs to work out or should be. And, so it said, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." And see, it doesn't say Jesus knows them that are his, but here in the early times, if you go all the way back to Leviticus, Jesus wasn't known. He was known whenever God said his name would be Jesus in scripture, but that was long after he had started telling people about the one that they was one that is going to come and what he was going to do. But he did it in increments and he did it through the prophets. And so we got to get all of that picture. You got to go back and get part of it here, part of it here, part of it there. And that's the way the Bible works. And that's the way it's worked out. And, it said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And it says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that should be the Lord too. Because Christ wasn't mentioned before this. He was known as Jehovah, or he was known as Melchizedek, or he was known as whoever he appeared to be. And certainly he came and talked with Abram, and he got on to Sarah for laughing. And Sarah said, well, I didn't laugh, but she laughed under her breath. Well, he told them that they were going to have a child, and both of them as old as they were. But God can hear that anyway, whether you say it out loud or where you think it. Mm-hmm. It can be known that way. And so why does people think that they can do things and hide it from everybody and hide it even from God? They can't do it. They can't. They might hide it from people, but they can't hide it from God, because God knows all things. And so this was another thing that I wanted to get involved with this study to give us an understanding as to how God works. And it didn't come from one place. Just like I told you, there's about 10 places to go, but 23 little spots of scripture that we need to look at are 24 to get everything in that Jack put in his interlinear there. So let me read my notes here. And it's not a lot of difference, but it says, nevertheless, or because of those who present error, the foundation, and that this is the Thelios, it's God's firm foundation that standeth firm, and it standeth sure, and it has a seal on it. And if God seals something, then that can't change. That doesn't change. When he sealed us, when we become members of the body of Christ, he sealed us to preserve us for the time, because
the
Spirit came, and the Spirit is doing the leading and guiding now through the auspices of Christ Jesus. Okay? And so the seal is something too that I wanted us to bring up and to talk about just a minute. And so that seal, if you go back to Ephesians 2, gives you an understanding that a sealing is something preserved. It is kept. And if God can keep something, then we're really deserving souls, because a lot of times we didn't deserve, even if we've been freed from our sins, we're still, you know, somewhat needful to answer to God for the things that that we sometimes do day to day and so on, because we can't. We live in this old world, and so here we are. So we realize that this is the situation. The old man is still with us, I'll just put it that way. And so we read it. The rest of this is a quote. It said, the Lord knoweth, or you, and that word is gnosko, by experience or effort to come or get to know or to learn or perceive them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, and I put my notes in there, same as the word Lord above, depart from iniquity. Well, why would they need to depart from iniquity? Well, Paul is writing this to Timothy to give understanding to those that didn't know Christ or wouldn't at the time of this writing, that they never got to see Christ before he was born or even after he was here for 33 years. And by the time this was written in AD 64, 65 or somewhere along there, then this word, this truth of the mystery had been given. And so anyone that had been or was at the time a Jew could have believed this and become a saint in Christ as you and I are. And so, you know, that's something that we need to truly be thankful for, those. But it says that Christ knew everyone that claimed him and became filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So this is a great thing that we need to look at and think about there. And then let's look at Jack's notes here, because they're pretty more extensive than they have been recently. Let's get out of the Greek, what we can out of the Greek here. And it said, the nevertheless firm foundation of the God stands, having the seal this, knows Lord, those are of him, and let depart from unrighteousness each one who names the name of Lord. Well, I guess the question would be there. Those in that age, in that day, that looked around, they realized that they were a lot of the Jewish nation that had been carried off to other places. Because in Acts 2, they were people there from all over the world that had been carried away in for servitude or for whatever. And they were in the households and in the places of other people. And they may have not have heard any of these words that Paul had been telling these people in these last seven epistles, you know, with Titus and all these others, and Timothy and everybody that he had going with him in these places. So Timothy was going to have to pick up, even though when Rome burnt, nobody could prove they were a Jew, but still, they were those living that were there when it did burn, that knew that what tribe they belonged to and all this stuff.
Well, the temple burned, not Rome.
Yeah. Huh?
The temple, not Rome.
The temple.
Oh, yeah, was it when Rome burned.
Okay. Well, I always heard that Nero
fiddled.
That Nero fiddled when Rome burned. So, I kind of had that on my mind as I went on too. But let's look at the rest of 19 that Jack put in here, and he says this: God's foundation stands sure, though some may betray or lose interest in his plan. His foundation forges through the ambivalences and ambiguities of mankind's vagaries to its God's will purpose. And I didn't know Jack knew that many big words, but sure that he did. Those who would thwart God's will finds tragically that they have taken the wrong path. At the root of this scenario is the substrata of omniscience, which shows that God knows those who are his. It would appear here that the type of unrighteousness referred to is that which displays falsity or the untruth. They are those who presume to judge. God needs no help in judging those who are his. Those who he named falsely are in great danger of his wrath. Repentance should be the next order of business. And so Jack gives us a lot of understanding to look forward to here. And we'll just go ahead and get started with this. And it is, like I said, it is a pretty good list of things. And I've got it wrote down here with the pages and all this. So let's turn first off. Let's go to Numbers 16. And we're going to go, if you got a companion Bible, it is on page 203. Where we're going to go to first. And this is Numbers 16, and we're going to read verses 3 through 5 on page 203 if you have a companion Bible. And I think 3 runs back on. Let's see, 16, 3 to 5. I was looking back at 15. 16:3 says this, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, whereof they lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, full stop. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Thus do. Take your census, Korah, and all his company." And so they had to do certain things to do this. But Moses maybe had a little understanding there that he might not have understood to begin with, too. Because he come to the understanding that the Lord would know his own. And and so they were going to have to straighten that little mess out that they had gotten themselves into. Okay, and then we're going to go we're still going to be in in Numbers 16, but we're going to read 20 through 28. So as Paul Harvey would say, maybe we're going to get the rest of the story here. 20 through 28, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Separate yourself from this congregation, that I might consume them in a moment. And then they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and will thou be wrought with all the congregation? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, speaking to the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed with all their sin. And this kind of goes back to the idea of this curse of a thing that they could get when they got this sinful thing staying in somebody's tents, and they had it too. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind." So, you see, they stood in, you know, the whole Bible tells you to fear God. Well, this is one place where they really had to fear God if they were going to save themselves from the situation that they had found themselves in. So evidently these men...
Well, they questioned Moses' authority.
Yeah.
That was not a good idea.
And that ain't a good idea to begin with. Yeah. But then they also questioned who was in the tents of these other people, because they were maybe in dire straits of some of these cancer growths that was going on at that period of time. So this is a situation that blew up in their face right quick, because it's kind of like when they murmured in the 40 year in the wilderness. Oh, a lot of them got buried alive there, you know, and a lot of things happened. So Moses is telling them, you know, this is not my idea. This is God's idea. But if it be his idea and he wants to do this, he can do it. But you better get right. Okay. So we'll go from Numbers to the book of Isaiah. So that's the next one up. And Isaiah. Let's see where we at here. Isaiah 51. Well, I guess I didn't put my little bookmarker in that one. I thought I did. Isaiah 51. I believe it might be 57. Let me look over here. Isaiah. No, Isaiah 52:11. Isaiah 52. I'm going to start at 3 and go to 12. Isaiah 52:3. Yeah. Go to verse 12. Okay. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall redeem without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice with the voice together and say they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath had confronted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Verse 11, this is it. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Okay, so that was the reason that was added in there, because you see where it come from and you see where it went. And those two verses, in those verses of Isaiah 52, 3 through 12. Okay. And we're going to go from there to Matthew 7. So that's the two places in the Old Testament. And so we're going to go to Matthew 7. Yeah, I got the marker in there. And we're going to look at, Matthew 7:23, 21 through 23. Matthew 7:21 through 23 on page 1322 if you have a companion Bible. Okay. 21, chapter 7 of Matthew says this. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, he's telling them right there, if you don't do the service, then you're not going to get the ticket to go in. Okay? So that's the way that works. And we're going to go from there, we're going to go to Luke. And we're going to go to Luke, what is it? 13. Yeah. Luke 13. Let's see if I've got it marked out. I wasn't feeling too good when I did this, but we'll find it. Luke 13, we're going to look at 25 through 27. Okay. And this is on page 1476, if you have a companion Bible. Luke 13:25 through 27. I'm going to go back to 24 because it says this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What does that tell you? That tells you that that city that's coming down is not going to be available to everybody that thinks it will be. 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, and I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. So we're building a pretty good case here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we're going to go from Luke there to the book of John. And we're going to go to John 10. Okay, John 10, what is it? 14 to 16. Page 1543. John 10, 14 through 16. And it's on page 1543. Yeah. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So we see the seal there is still in place of the foundation that God had set up even aeons before all this took place. You know, we just don't know. And we're going to go to Romans. And I thought that might be it, but that's not it. We're going to go to Romans 4. Matthew, Luke, John, Romans 4. Yeah, 4, 8. Boy, Jack, give us a lot to look at here. Romans 4, 8. He didn't miss many of these things. We're going to look at Romans 4, 8 through 11. This is on page 1669 in the Companion Bible. 8 through 11 of chapter 4. It says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he, let me turn the page, might be the father of all that believed, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So in the book of Romans, and I know it was written later, about in Acts, it was written a little later than some, maybe where they had problems with asking these questions, and they put out the letter with the put out the note with the four things, you know, this should have sacrificed for that had they have known it at that point. But it may not have been that they knew it at that time. Okay, let's go from Romans 4 to 1 Corinthians 3. There's three places in Corinthians that we want to look at. First Corinthians 3, 10 through 13. That's on page 1700. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 13. And it says this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Verse 10 and 11. I'm going to read 12 and 13. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. And this goes really deeper than just this. So keep that in mind. It's going to come up again. It may not come up in the study today, but it may come up in the study next time that we get together. Okay, then we're going to go to chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians and look at 9 through 11. And that's turning one page or two pages in the Companion Bible. 5, 9 through 11. And that's on page 1703. Yeah, it says 1702. I guess I made a mistake there. Chapter 5, 9 through 11. Yeah. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet, not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetousness, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye need go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called to be a brother be a fornicator, or covetousness, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. He says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. So, he's making the point there that he's the judge and he's going to do the judging, and they're going to be put away, the wicked people there are. 2 Corinthians 6. So we're going to go from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians. I'll get there in a minute. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. Page 1735. It says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And this is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians for. For that day. Okay. That was 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, yeah. Okay, we're going to go from there to Galatians. whereabouts of Galatians 4. They didn't get quite far enough. Here we go. Galatians 4, 8 and 9. Galatians 4, 8 and 9. This is on page 1755. 8 and 9 says this. How be then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly element, whereunto desire again to be in bondage. So he says in Galatians to these, you know, you didn't know God at one time, but now when you know God, and you did service unto them by nature, which are not gods, but when you know God, or rather known to God or of God, turn away. Don't stay there. Turn away. So this is what a lot of this is pointing to. Okay, we're going to go to Ephesians 2. So, Paul wrote a lot about this. We're going to go to 2:19 and 20 on 1763 in Ephesians. 2:19 and 20. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So, you remember when we went over this, that it was a real hard thing for the Jews to take, that they left out the cornerstone and started without the cornerstone. And that was something that you just didn't do. Okay. Then we're going to look at Philippians 3. I tell you, Jack didn't leave anything out here. Philippians 3, 8 through 11 on page 1777. 3, 8 through 11. And it's not all on this one page, so you left. If you got a companion Bible, you'll have to turn your page over. But 8 starts off and says, "Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Okay, here we go. In Philippians, he's talking about Christ Jesus. So it's Christ first, Jesus second. You see that? Okay. In 8, "For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And verse 9 says, "Be found in him, and not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I might attain to the out resurrection or the ec attestation of the dead. So this, in Philippians, this was what Paul was aiming for. He was like an athlete. He was in a race to run for this, and this is what he wanted to win. This was the crown that he desired to begin with. That's what he could see in his future out there. So, Colossians was that. Then we'll go to Colossians. In Colossians 3, we're going to go to 9 through 10. That's on page 1803. Colossians 3:10. That's 1785. Wait a minute. I've gotten ahead of myself. Yeah, 1785. Colossians 3:12-13. So, 12 and 13 on page 1785 of Colossians 3 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." I'll just add that to it. Okay, we're going from there to 1 Timothy. We're getting down through the list. Yeah, and I thought it was going to be a big one. 1 Timothy 3. Wait a minute. Let's see, 1 Timothy 1. Let's start off 1 Timothy 1, verses 5 and 6. On page 1800, we did one on 1700, so let's do one on 1800. 5 and 6. Well, let's start at 3 and go to 6. Of 1 Timothy 1. And Paul says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus to Timothy now, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience, and out of a faith unfeigned, for which some have swerved." And you know what swerve is, if you've been in a car and had to swerve to avoid something. "From which some have swerved, having turned aside into vain jangling." So you see, you can swerve to get out of something, and you can also swerve to get into something. And this is God's lesson for today, for that sort of thing. Okay, we're going to stay in 1 Timothy a little bit. We're going to go to verse 16. You don't even have to turn the page if you got a companion Bible. It says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So you see, this thing in Acts hadn't been settled when this had been written. Because, you know, when Timothy joined Paul's group, here he was still in Ephesus, and they hadn't made it to Rome at that point. So it was Jesus Christ here in 16. "You might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which hereafter believe on him and unto eternal life." So there is a pattern of that. It's kind of like the seal. The pattern in the seal kind of works the same way. Okay. First Timothy 1:16. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 3, and we're going to look at 9 and 10 of First Timothy. It says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And the wise, be not slanderers, sober, but sober, faithful into all things. Okay? And then we're going to go to 3:16, chapter 3, and read 16. And it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. And then we'll go on to chapter 4, which is the very next verse on page 1803. And we're going to look at 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. But we're not done here. Let's go to the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. And we'll look at chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. That's on page 1806. 6, 2, and 3. And they that have believed masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And so this is what Jack wanted us to see in 1 Timothy. Now, got two more places to go. I'm just about out of time. 1 Peter 2, see if I can find 1 Peter 2, and I know we've looked at a lot of scripture, but you can see the importance of what God is telling these people. If it's not right, get out of there. 1 Peter 2, 9. On page 1857. He says, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Then two places in Revelation. Revelation 17. Wait a minute. Yeah. That is for another next chapter. Revelation 17:14 says this. This is on page 1906. It says in 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Full stop. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Okay. And then we're going to look to page 1912. Okay. Almost to the end of the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at 21:14. And I don't know why Jack put this in here, but I'm going to read it anyway. Because some will, I think, would read it and realize that the magnificence of the city that John saw was something like man has never seen before. And if you don't have a ticket, we read back there a while ago, I guess, if it don't meet the master's prerogative, then you don't get a ticket. And it says, and the wall of the city hath 12 foundations. Oh, we're going back to the foundation word again. The 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So you see, there's a reason for these foundations and gates and all these things that God says he's going to bring when he brings that city down. That it's their reasons why these things be there. And I guess the question will be, you know, if you were looking for that city, then you need to find out what tribe you're from, because you may not get the ticket. And
that's the walls and gates for a reason.
Yeah.
And angels on the gates.
Yeah. And so, you know, a gate can work two ways. It can keep things in and keep things out. And so here's what, that's what we have.
Or both of those at the same time.
Yeah. Some out and some in. So it can be, it can certainly be that way too. So that one verse of scripture entails there with the fact of, you know, as we read it and we talk about it and we see it, and we see it says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's no iniquity going to be there. It's all going to be cleaned up. Everything's been done and taken care of. And there's a seal there. And so the seal is sure to keep things the way they're supposed to be. And I guess we went around the horn a little bit to say that, but nevertheless, that's the way Jack wanted it to go, and that's the way we're going to do it. Because he came up with all this there that, to tell us that, you know, it's going to be there and it's going to be a reality. Even though we may not be in that, but I'm sure that we're going to be there to be part of the whole plan and purpose of God in that situation. So thank you for being with us and hanging on, and may God bless you this day.